As we transition to this time of teaching and the sermon, I want to mention the kitchen crew is planning to do, as we did last fall or spring, just in the springtime, they did one meal on a Wednesday. This year, I'm told they're planning four Wednesday dinners, and that will be only in October, the Wednesdays in October, just like we've been doing receptions, the coffee hour receptions for memorial services. Will now gather on Wednesdays for the meal, and you'll have both next Sunday, the 25th, and the first Sunday of October to look at the menus and to consider making a reservation for that. And so please look for that. I'm sure they'll publish something next week in the bulletin, and they'll have the menus available online. And they'll let you know if they'll do to-go orders. That's been popular in the past. The King's Kids program is not in the bulletin this week, but they are looking the first Wednesday of October to have a kickoff party. And so if you have young children or know of those who are looking for that kind of a program, as we've had in the past, look for that announcement to come next week. There are two scripture readings for this morning's message that I'll mention in just a moment, the title of the message, but I'll read it in context after the prayer as I begin the message. But there are two readings for it. The first is from Genesis 3. It is the story of Adam and Eve. They have just broken God's commandment not to eat of the tree in the middle of the Garden of Eden. And so it's the story of the first sin and its punishment. This is the first of two readings today. Genesis 3, beginning at verse 8. Then they, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." God said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, the serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pangs in childbirth exceedingly great. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." And then the second reading comes from the book of Job. It's a passage that many perhaps may not have heard. You've heard about the suffering of Job, but this is what Job's friends say about him. "See, you have instructed many. You have strengthened the weak hands. Your words have supported those who were stumbling, and you have made firm the feeble knees." Let's pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord and our God, we are listening for a word from you this morning. Open our eyes that we might see, and open our ears that we might hear what it is that you have to say to us, that we might bring forth fruit in our lives as a result of this time together with you, studying and reflecting upon your word. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, just a summary for those of you perhaps who may not have been here the last couple of weeks. This is the conclusion of a series on change, dealing with change. And in the first sermon a few weeks ago, we focused on the inevitability of change. It's a part of life. And we said that the most important thing we need to know in a world of change is that we need the eternal. We need God, our rock, our shield, our defender, and protector. The second message focused on how we are changed, indeed shaped by the events that take place in our lives, which in fact God, we know, uses in ways we often do not understand, but God uses events to shape us and to change us. And those events that take place in our lives, they can shape us for the good. Indeed, they can help people make commitments to Christ for a lifetime. And we talked about some of those events that take place. But today's sermon is the last one in the series. It's called The Domino Effect. Some of you have done this before. You've set up dominoes close together and you press one and it hits the next one and on it goes. I encourage you to go on YouTube. I challenge you to do that and just watch one video of those dominoes. There's a world record of like 350,000. And I literally went down the rabbit hole for about an hour watching these dominoes fall. It was just amazing. There was one in which they had the dominoes elevated when they started, and the domino fell, and then you see all these dominoes on the floor, and nothing happened. But what you couldn't see in the video is that a ball was hit, and it was on a pendulum going around the room. And finally, when it slowed down and got to the center, it hit one domino and started the fall of 35,000 dominoes. It was amazing to watch that and go, where did it go? And finally it starts. But I don't need to show you a video this morning of that. You can do that yourself. The domino effect. You can visualize how placing a row of dominoes upright, each separated by that small distance, and then pushing the very, very first one, how it impacts the next domino, and so on and so forth. Each one influences the next one. That's the message for today. With a little imagination this morning, you can imagine how such an effect between people can serve as an ethical warning, can it not? And what I mean by that is there are people in this world, sadly enough, who do not sense the danger in doing wrong. They often forget that the wrong that they do can have long-term consequences on themselves and especially others long after they have done what they have done and long after they see what happens in years to come. Recall with me, for example, the very simple story of the prodigal son. We have heard that story over and over about the boy who left his father and family and his community to go off to the far country. We tell that story about how he lived loosely and how he met a bunch of fair-weathered friends and spent the part of the inheritance his father had given him unwisely. We've heard that story and how much that son must have hurt his father by the rejection of his family and going off by himself. And then we say, yes, but that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is the celebration that takes place because the father throws off his shoes, runs out to meet the boy coming home and says, let's throw a party. My son who is lost is found. That's the way the story ends, right? Well, no, it's not. That's not the end of the story. My point is this morning that it isn't the end. The pain he caused his family, if you read further, is a part of that story. He hurt his family by his deeds. There was enmity created between he and his brother, and that's a big part of the end of that story. The older brother refuses to go in and celebrate his brother's return. And I expect there are other people who were injured in all of that. that the younger son may never have noticed. Or he may have spent the rest of his life, in fact, maybe making it up to them. We don't know how that story ends. We're only told part of it. But clearly there were others who suffered because of his acts, almost like a trail that we can leave behind long after we are gone. Take, for example, the matter of gossip. Someone was sharing this with me this week when I was sharing about the impact we have on others. Gossip is a good example. We've grown familiar with that term over the years, and now we have a new term for it. You know the new term? Fake news. That's the new term. But I looked up the word gossip in the dictionary because I've gotten used to hearing the term fake news, but I've almost forgotten the word gossip. I don't hear it very often used in casual conversation. This is what Webster's dictionary says. It says, gossip is unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. Someone has said, when you think about passing on information about others and gossip or fake news, ask three questions. And the first question is pretty basic. Is it true? And then ask the second question. Is it kind? And then ask the third question. Is it really necessary to pass it on to others? Perhaps you slip up and tell a story or tell about someone, you discover it hurts them, you apologize to them, but the story keeps going after it's long been told. There is an Arab proverb about gossip. It goes this way. It says, four things never come back. An arrow let loose into the sky, an opportunity which has been neglected, an event that has happened in the past, and finally, a careless word that is spread to the winds. Gossip. The writer of Genesis reminds us this morning of how Adam and Eve left a negative effect, an awful legacy that still affects generation after generation. After the story of the fall from the Garden of Eden, where God had walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening, and then one day he said, where are you? And we're told that the evening has a nice breeze. Where are they? They're hidden. And after Adam and Eve tell what happened, here's what happens next. There is the curse. The snake is cursed and it crawls on its belly and is feared. The woman, God says, will have pain in childbirth. The man must toil in sweat to earn a living. There are continuing consequences of sin and death through all generations, like a domino effect from the result of their disobedience. And that's called, by the way, original sin. And that's the negative side of the message this morning. I could go on and on with examples of that kind of negative impact that we can have on others that continues to travel. But you get the point. There is an influence, on the other hand, that we can have that is ennobling to others. It's uplifting. It can be faithful. It can be a positive influence. I want to explore that just a little bit with you in the time we have remaining. There's a domino effect to faith. There's a domino effect to love and goodness also. There are good consequences that can come from our acts and our words to and about others. And I believe that such a positive influence stems from knowing, in fact, the goodness of God and reflecting on the beauty of Christ in your life and the impact that can have greatly on you. That's where that comes from. It doesn't necessarily come from within us naturally. I believe it's by the goodness of God we're able to pass that forward. I suspect, however, we never fully realize how often the influence of our lives really does pass on to others. It does. How many of us have traditions, for example, of regular prayers in our homes, or devotions, or prayers around the dining table before eating perhaps, or prayers with family and friends, even on Thanksgiving Day or some holiday, or habits of kindness, which we learned in our homes from our parents and grandparents. If we do say such prayers and practice habits of kindness, it is often, I believe, because they were modeled for us by a father or a mother, or a mentor, a grandparent. They did them, we watched, and we do them. There's a domino effect there, you see. And if we practice such habits, I can assure you they will follow you if you practice kind habits. One of these might be, for example, a conversation around a table, whether it be dinner or other times, where people are talked about and affirmed and recognized, and people say, you know, we should do something for that person. I love this about the story of Job, old Job in the Bible. Oh, how much he suffered. We know that story. It goes on and on about the ways in which he suffered. And it goes on and on to tell us about his friends who were not much help with their advice. But in the story about Job, there is hidden a moment where Job's friends, in the midst of Job's suffering, tell us something about Job and the kind of person he was. This is what they say about him. Job's words supported those who were stumbling, and he made firm those who had shaky knees. I wonder how he did that. How did Job do that? How did he support people like that to keep them from falling? What a great tribute to his influence on others. Would it be that you and I have such influence to help people with shaky knees at the moment going through something? We can have a positive effect. The Presbyterian pastor Tom Toole, I've listened to a number of his sermons, especially at conferences, and he often in his sermons refers to what he calls balcony people. That's a great term, balcony people. He says balcony people, they are our parents and friends who stand with us throughout life, and they call out the best in us. They offer us encouraging words from the sidelines. And so the question is, do you have balcony people in your life? If not, you should have some. They're great support, I can tell you personally, balcony people. When you face a challenge or an obstacle or have to make an important decision and have such people you see supporting you, you have what they call in the sporting world, and I love this, especially with football starting, you have, if you have a group of balcony people, you have the home field advantage no matter what you go through. Wouldn't it be better if you're facing something to have people who are just cheering you on and encouraging you? Think about it the other way. What if you're going through something and all you have are people offering you boos and negative support? That wouldn't get you very, very far. Do you believe that there are days in your life that you need an encouraging word from someone? Of course you do. You have those kind of days. Can you remember a time when you were affirmed by someone and you needed it? You may not remember exactly what they said, but perhaps you remember knowing that you needed to go and meet with them and talk to them because you looked up to them. You knew they would affirm you, they would help you. If you have someone like that or a situation like that that occurred in your life, I encourage you to share that with someone in your life, especially your children and grandchildren. Share how you were affirmed by others in life and how much that meant to you. They need to hear that if they're to participate in this domino effect. What I'm saying this morning, I want to assure you, it applies to 10-year-olds. 10-year-olds who have a stomach ache. It applies to 80-year-olds when they have a backache. It applies to people when they have a headache, and it applies to people especially when they have a heartache. To encourage someone is to give them heart, to help them be heartened when they are downhearted, right? I want to share with you an illustration which I hope gets to the heart of this domino effect that I'm trying to describe today. It comes from a church member who shared with me many years ago an editorial that was sent to a newspaper about her mother who had been a teacher. Part of that letter said this: "I'm writing because I'd like to pay tribute to a very special lady, the late," and her name was given, I won't give it here, "she was my son Mike's second grade teacher. She was a godsend to him when he needed someone like her in his life. She gave Mike the most important gifts he needed at that time. He was very insecure at that time, and she gave him the ability to believe in oneself and the confidence to succeed. And he did. Each time in his life he received a special recognition or accomplished something or went through a major event in his life, like marriage or having children later in life, in my heart, I always felt that she was there in spirit. Such was the impact she had upon him and indeed upon me to write this letter." All from a second grade teacher. That's a great tribute to a teacher, and perhaps it applies to many teachers. I could share with you story after story, 10 times and more over, of people who have impacted and had such an influence in my life when I needed it. And the point I'm making this morning is that most people may never realize the creative influence that passes from your life into the lives of others. That's what we're saying today, that Christian love, it can be contagious. I pray it is, the domino effect. We are responsible for the impact we have on the lives of others, to the negative or for the positive. Think about this. What did the writers of the New Testament remember about Jesus? They recalled that when he was reviled, and the word revile means to be insulted and criticized in an abusive manner, and he had that happen to him often, but he did not do that in return. They remembered, his followers, his openness to human need and his care for others. They recalled how he was willing even to die for them, and they followed him in that same spirit. And so I say to you this morning, may the beauty of Christ be the very image that you gently leave upon the others with the influence that you have upon them. And never forget the potential energy of your life and the chain reaction your life has and does have on others because of your faith. Praise be to God. Let us pray. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks for these moments together, for the story of Adam and Eve and how that still impacts us, but also for the story of Job and how we too can help others for generations. In Christ's name, help us to do just that. Amen.
At this time, I would ask everyone to please stand and join us at home. We're going to close with a song called "Same God."